News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Voice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. This is Sound Bites. It is Saturday, the 26th of April, Anno Domini 2003, and I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we will be taking your phone calls, we'll be talking about the news, we'll be having some fun. We'll give you our opinions on the way things are in the world today in terms of computers, and that was lovely and charming. And whatever else comes along. So join us, and we'll have a lot of fun. You already heard the phone numbers, so I don't have to repeat those. And we're going to start with the news. And I think we'll start with Steve, since he was here early today.
And he doesn't have any news.
He beat me here today. I was shocked and delighted to see that.
Shocked and amazed.
Shocked. Had no awe, though.
Had no awe. Aww.
I didn't beat
now
him.
Now there's awe.
Now there's awe.
Well, we had a couple of interesting things happen in the Apple community this week. With no fanfare and barely a press release, Apple updated their iBook laptop line, raising the clock speeds up to 900 megahertz, adding more hard drive and more memory. So we now have an 800 megahertz G3 iBook with the 12-inch screen starting at $999. Going up to the 14-inch screen, 900 megahertz, 40-gig drive now. They put in the high-end machine for $14.99. So the iBook is the consumer-level portable machine based on the older G3, but cheaper. So it's if you're deciding to go for a cheaper machine, you go with the iBook. If you want the fast machine, you go with the PowerBook. So very little fanfare, just one morning, actually 7 a.m., California time, because it was already on the web at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Eastern. The Apple Store got updated, and there was no press release, no nothing. So it was very weird. Then later on, Apple sent an invitation to the World Press Organizations that this coming Monday, April 28th in San Francisco, they're going to hold a big press event.
Okay.
I guess they wanted to make sure things actually got to the stores before they started messing about.
Well, actually, which
is unusual for Apple.
Yeah. Fueling the rumors is that the invitation says that Apple will have announcements that will be music to your ears. So that's fueling further speculation that Apple is announcing a music-related service for being able to download music from the internet to use on your iPod.
Sure it's not networking?
You never know. Music to your ears. Also, the possibility of a new iPod that's been rumored for quite a while now. Toshiba's got a 40-gigabyte version of its 1.8-inch hard drive, smaller than a MacBook, if anyone remembers MacBooks anymore.
Yeah, really.
But this little tiny drive. Also fueling the rumor, last week there were speculations that Apple was going to buy the Universal Music Group. The rumors are between $5 and $6 billion for purchasing that. I guess it's one of the largest music conglomerations in the world.
Yeah.
Also fueling the rumors, the Wall Street Journal has announced that Apple has secured the rights to the Eagles music library.
Cool.
Ooh.
Why would they do that unless they're coming up with a music service?
You're right, exactly.
So we'll find out more Monday morning in San Francisco. They haven't announced whether it's going to be webcast or not, but knowing Apple, it probably will be. So we'll see more what's going to happen on Monday.
Excellent. I can't hardly wait.
Products with no announcement, and now an announcement.
With no product.
With no product.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was an announcement of an announcement.
Excellent.
They had to tell the press to make sure and come to San Francisco next week.
Because you don't want to miss this one because we're actually going to announce something.
Yeah. Right. An announcement for the announcement.
Yeah. Dave, talk to me.
Okay, XP. We've been telling folks for a while, and this just adds more fuel to the fire, not to go to that Service Pack 1 update if you're running Windows XP. It's now been touted that it can slow down your system big time. An average application can take an extra 10 seconds to load. I've also experienced that it can also crash a machine. It goes ahead and does the updates, and then it goes to reboot, and it just keeps rebooting, rebooting, to mm-hmm. where you literally have to go back in, put the CD in, and there is a trick to it, which I think I might be putting up on something else, what we'll be announcing later on, how to correct and reinstall XP over XP and still save things. We thought that feature was going to be lost, but just like you could with Windows 98, you could go back into the CAD files and type the setup and reset up.
But it is hiding. Two or three levels down to hit that reinstall but don't erase.
Yeah, you've right. Got, well, it's actually repair.
Yeah.
It's actually repair.
It's the
you
second
don't,
repair.
Yes, the
don't,
second
don't
repair.
Hit the first repair.
Yeah, you just yeah. go ahead as though you're installing it, and then once you get to the other screen, which I'll do a write-up on that
yeah.
and get that going. But, again, if things are running fine, don't bother with that Service Pack 1. Do the other updates. If you go to the automatic updates, and it's already been selected, go in and click the remove. Select all the, you know, the others will already be selected. Just remove that Service Pack 1 update, and you should be okay.
Okay, excellent advice. On the national front here in America, for those of you listening overseas, you may not care about this, but we here have a Department of Homeland Security, and Tom Ridge is the Secretary of Homeland Security, and he has finally hired a privacy czar. This person will be responsible for leading the development of a privacy policy for the federal government and enforcing it across all departments. The person he tapped was Nuala O'Connor Kelly. Nuala? Wasn't that Simba's girlfriend? Oh, no, that was Nala. Okay, my daughter's going to give me a look in just a minute.
Yeah.
Nuala O'Connor Kelly has been tapped to fill that position. Now, it's a little odd to me that the person who is leading the development of a privacy policy for the federal government once worked for DoubleClick. DoubleClick, as you may know, is the company that puts out all those ads, those banner ads yeah. that you see, and when you click on them, they gather information about who you are and where you're going and what you click on and what you do and where you've been.
Spyware.
They're the people who put out half the spyware that's out there, and this woman is going to be our privacy czar? I have a little problem with that, ladies and gentlemen.
No, the government wants no privacy. They want to be able to look into yeah. whatever they want to look
that's
in.
That's apparently correct, just because they call it privacy. Yep. I'm sorry, you're right, it's newspeak.
Right.
It's been a long time since I read Animal Farm, and I need to go back and reread it. I apologize. And 1984, I apologize. I have to go back and reread those.
How soon we forget.
Right, exactly. So that's our pals at the Department of Homeland Security. I suspect we will become intimate with the name Nuala O'Connor Kelly. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, this is Linda Cohn from ESPN Sports Center. A special thanks to all the sponsors who've made the 25th annual WHAM Sportswomen of the Year Awards Luncheon possible.
Randall Farnsworth Automotive Group, Flaherty Funding Corporation, Agility Advertising Group, The Pike Company. Linda Cohn's appearance is courtesy of Frontier.
I'll see you on April 28th. Make your reservations today.
Call 234-2055.
At John Deere, we know there are people who'd love to own our lawn tractors, but ask themselves, am I really John Deere material? Am I committed enough to my yard? Am I worthy of taking my place on the signature yellow seat, the throne of the king of lawn tractors? To that we say, ease up, slugger. You don't have to love yard work to own a John Deere. You just have to love the ease and performance that comes with owning one. That's why we're introducing the 100 Series, lawn tractors that give you the reliability, durability, and precision of a John Deere. Starting at just $1,499. Yes, just $1,499. At that price, the question is not if you're worthy of taking your place on the throne of the king of lawn tractors. The question is, how soon can your reign begin? So go ahead, buy a new 100 Series. Nothing's stopping you, and nothing runs like a deer.
$14.99 based on MSRP. Tax, delivery, and setup not included.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenshield Computer Services. 50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
I am. I'm right here. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And he's right. You know, our announcers. I don't even know who this guy's name. Who is this guy? Okay.
He's just some guy.
He's just some guy.
His name's Lonnie or something like that.
Don't ask me. Are you asking me? Because I asked you first. Right. You have to find. Look at one of the other two and ask them, because I can't help you. But he is our announcer, and we're delighted to have him do that for us. He's like somewhere in Virginia or whatever. Somewhere. I don't know where he is. You just work here. What do you know?
Well, some other bits of news for folks that care. We're still very aggressively working on the Rob Linton screensaver.
I get home from work last Saturday, and I have an email, I think, from the lady who's been trying to...
I'm emailing Sheila.
Yeah.
Finally found Sheila.
Excellent.
Yeah, so maybe I shouldn't have passed that email on to you guys.
Oh! Hey, even though he threatened his mother, you know, we were talking about it last week. What did he have to do? Get on his cell phone, call his mom. You better not. We're still going to work on Mrs. Linton.
Yep.
Getting the pictures from there.
I meant to bring a digital camera this week.
We could, you know, maybe convince her to scarf up some. We should also ask any of Rob's friends that if they...
There's an assumption in that sentence.
No. They know better.
Associates, to contact me. You can go to soundbites.org and email me if you have any particular...
I'm always the one with the digital camera, so I have all the pictures.
Right, so you're behind the case. See, that's exactly
but
right.
But anyways, I've been in contact with Sheila, and she has offered to come and, because he won't know what she looks like, sneak some pics.
I'll know if she comes in the studio. I'll recognize
her.
Because she won't be one of us. That's a big clue right there.
Many of your public appearances.
Oh, a ton of my public appearances.
We're talking about other places. Right. We got Sheila out on the road now.
Here we go.
Oh, you don't know what she looks like.
Maybe I should have Nick adjust my profile because it says where I work in there.
It's too late now. She's already got it. It's out on the web. Google has it cached already.
So if I'm working at Radio Shack, I'm going to have this customer come in and just start taking random pictures.
I have a question about digital cameras. This one.
Or they could be doing it from a car. You could be at some other function. You never know.
We're going to get to the phones in just a second, but I do want to say that there's a rumor going around. Well, it's more than a rumor. A Microsoft official actually was giving an interview and was talking about Windows Server 2003 and said they're looking to develop a command line only server because so many people are citing that as a reason that they run Linux rather than Windows, because you don't have the overhead of a graphical system taking up cycles on your server when they should be serving cycles, not window management cycles that aren't doing anything because nobody ever turns on the monitor thing.
Yeah.
So Microsoft, this is an actual Microsoft official, actually talking about developing a graphicless version of Windows. Don't we call that DOS?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we used to call that?
They had that.
All right, going to the phones now. Our first caller is John, patiently waiting all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show, and I'm new to computers, if you'll be patient with me.
We're patient with everybody. Next caller.
I keep getting these pop-up messages that are really annoying, and I'm trying to get rid of them permanently. I'm afraid to open any of them for fear of a virus.
Good idea.
I'm new to the computer world as of about a year, and I'm slowly learning. And I love your show, but I haven't heard anything yet about it. Can you help me?
What are you using to browse the web? IE or
Internet Explorer?
Internet Explorer.
That's your problem.
Yeah,
Stop using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, you've got to get something like Stopzilla, this pop-up killer.
No, it's Stopzilla, the pop-up killer.
Yes, you do it better than me.
Thank you.
But there's also a product called Mozilla. And in Mozilla, it has that feature, too.
Mozilla is a web browser. It would replace Internet Explorer.
Okay.
And you can literally sit there and shut off all those pop-ups.
Yep.
Okay, and is this a disk I would buy?
No, you can get it free off the web. Matter of fact, if you go to our website, soundbites.org, and scroll down on the right-hand side, you'll see, I heard this website on your show. Click on there, and we have an alphabetical listing of all the things that we recommend from week to week.
Okay.
You can scroll down again on that screen, and you will see Mozilla. It will take you to that website where you can download it free of charge.
Mozilla.
Yep.
M-O-Z-I-L-L-A.
Great. Thanks, guys. I listen to your show every week just to learn more and more, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. We'll do that just for you, John.
Wait, I was just talking about this with someone at the office the other day, and
you talk to the people in your office?
Yeah.
Now and then.
Whoa.
And we're making the distinction between Mac and Windows again, of course.
Sure.
But to be totally safe under Windows, you need 5 programs. You need the pop-up killer,
mm-hmm.
the AdAware spy remover,
mm-hmm.
The firewall,
mm-hmm.
the antivirus program,
mm-hmm.
and the spam filter.
Right.
We don't have to worry too much about most any of those on the Mac.
No, not too much, but you
do have to worry
about
them.
So you really do have to have them. If you're,
yeah.
if you're going to do anything at all, you need them. I worry about them even less on my Linux box, although
yep.
I still have all that
yep.
stuff out there. Our next caller is going to be Rich from Canandaigua. Welcome,
hey,
Rich. What's
guys.
Your question?
Hey, I got a network at home. I've got 5 computers on it.
Wow.
Everything works great. Printers shared. Well, I got 3 kids.
That'll do it.
And they're all doing schoolwork and everything else. But anyway.
Yeah, that's what they tell you.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. Anyway, everything works great. The one thing I'm looking for is I used Microsoft Outlook on all 5 computers. Anytime I enter an event or something on the calendar, I've got to go to all 5 computers and do it. It's a real pain. Is there any way to have that so that I can enter it on one and it'll go across all of them?
Buy the Microsoft Exchange server, which is only about $20,000.
Oh, great.
I know.
Well, that's the way to get Outlook to do it.
No, there's Microsoft.
Well, the small business server is $5,000 or $6,000, and that includes calendaring. What you need to find is a multi-user calendar.
Yeah.
There's several on the internet. Yahoo Calendar has one.
But Outlook had it. Microsoft Outlook. You could set up the mailboxes.
Right. For a single calendar. You can't share your calendars with anyone else without having the Exchange server upstream.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
I've seen
one on MSN. If you go into MSN, they have a calendar you can get. But then again, if you're offline, you're out of luck.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's an interesting problem because there are some places on the net that talk a little bit about this. But try this site. You can only share one. No, see, that'll only let you share one calendar item at a time. There, it's very hard to do. Microsoft is not interested in you sharing that without the server,
which they make more money on.
There is a feature in Outlook 98 and 2000 called Net Folders that lets you transfer information among a group with special email messages. So, but that doesn't really do it.
Your best bet is going to be to find another program that does multi-user calendaring.
Yeah, there's a...
I just found one called Office Talk.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what the details on it are.
Well, there's a standard called iCalendar. And I thought there was a free version of iCalendar somewhere. And I think Outlook talks iCalendar.
Maybe 2002 does.
Yeah.
But this Office Talk says it imports calendars from Outlook. Apple has a program called iCal for the Mac that lets you do individual calendars and then publish your calendar to the internet and see other people's calendars and subscribe to other calendars. So Apple's building that into the OS themselves.
Right.
On that side.
So what you're really and we'll look into this, but I'm not going to promise how this works, but. There are supposed to be other products out there. We'll do a little searching for them. I'm afraid we don't have an answer for you right away, but Microsoft is not going to make it easy to do that because that's not what they're interested in.
I'm in shock.
Yeah!
Is this the first time?
Oh, over Microsoft? Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand
just
that.
Just want to make sure.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry.
Thanks, gentlemen. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show anybody's ever heard of, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
for all your computer needs. Call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104. Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Chet Walker here for One Step Tree and Lawn Care. You may have heard about the wonderful free service One Step's offering in support of Rochester's military families. Isn't it time you took advantage of One Step's service too? After all, buying and applying the right lawn care products at the right time is a big job. Save yourself the hassle. Let One Step do it. I've been thrilled with the work they've done for me, and you will be too.
The first step to a better looking yard. One Step Tree and Lawn Care.
The local lawn care experts. Call 594-1095.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Where?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Yeah, just, we'll find him eventually.
For now, I'll be Nick Francesco.
Okay, I'll be Dave Enrich.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton, I think.
And this
could be.
This is Soundbite.
Of course, they only see the back of your head.
That's true. So I could be somebody else.
You could be anybody you want to be.
Unless they go to the posters.
Oh.
That's exactly those posters right. Are
posters are out of control.
Those
cool.
Are fantastic. If you folks want to have a good laugh, you got to go to the Soundbites webpage, soundbites.org. And over on the right-hand side, a lot of our folks in the forums have taken too much of their free time and taken posters and have gotten very creative. That's all I'll say. So definitely go over and check the movie posters. It's on the right-hand side. You'll have a laugh and a half.
Now, you truly need a fast connection for these things because they are not small files. There's a lot of graphics. In fact, the whole point of this thing is graphics. So you're going to see a lot of stuff that's pretty interesting, but you're going to need a fast connection to really see them. Our last few connections over the last couple of weeks, Lolly Gag has been doing this whole series on James Bond, or as she puts it, James Bunt. Believe me, if you haven't been in the forums, you have no idea where that comes from. They're great posters. She's going through the whole series. We have Life Force out there. We have Bite Finger, Kung Pao, Bite the Fist, Honor Majesty's Secret Bites. Bon Vibra gave us Earth Girls Are Easy Bites. Lolly gives us my favorite bad movie, the worst movie ever made, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Great, great film. Thunder Bites. You're looking good there.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty good. We're back with Diamonds Bite Forever. Ernst Stavro Blofeld. Steve, you've been Blofeld in several movies now.
I'm usually M, and Rob is Q.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the Nehru jacket is out, so you can probably get rid of those. I know you got a closet full of them, but it's time for them to go. He Only Bites Twice. It looks like Rob in the volcano there. I'm not sure quite what that is.
You realize I wasn't even born yet when James Bond came out.
Shut up. Nick's Angels, Me With My Arms Around Lolly, and Lucy Liu. That's a pretty good deal.
Cheech and Chong.
Still smoking. And Steve looks so happy in that picture. Our last couple were Bonanza. Very funny stuff. Mars Gate. Dun 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 dun.
Rob's looking good in that one.
Rob's looking real good in that
Which
one?
Which one?
Vitenza.
Are my eyes closed still?
And then Lolly does Never Say Never Again. That's the last one up there.
Yeah.
You notice it takes.
Out.
I just want you to notice that it takes Dave and Steve both to play Max von Sydow. But Lolly, by herself, plays both Barbara Carrera and Kim Basinger. That works for me. Okay, so you got to check those out. If you've got a fast connection or an incredible amount of patience, check them out at the phones. Check them out at the website. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to Bob from Victor, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
First of all, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I'm going to try to help out the last caller. A very inexpensive calendar that can be used for up to 5 users is called Anytime Deluxe. Anytime Deluxe. The website, I'm not sure, but I bet it's anytime.com or something like that.
Yeah, most of them I've been finding are like $100 a user.
No, this is about $30 for the software and $50 for the license for up to 5 users.
Nice.
We use one in our office. In our office, it works fabulous. It's Palm compatible.
Nice.
And, oh,
yeah.
Sweet.
And it's very inexpensive and extremely user-friendly. But anyhow, the reason I called is I have a dilemma that I hope you can help me with.
We'll try.
In my office, I have a 4PC peer-to-peer Windows network.
Mm-hmm.
Two machines are Win98 Second Edition. Two machines are Windows 2000 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that we're having is with QuickBooks.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, humor me. The data file lives on one of the machines that's a Win98 machine.
Mm-hmm.
All the machines can access this file. It's a multi-user file without any problem except one of the Win2000 machines. When it tries to hook up to the data file, it locks everybody else out. I'm thinking it's some kind of privacy issue with Windows 2000, but I'm cool.
Can this 2000 machine see the Windows 98 machine to do other things?
Oh, yeah.
That was the wrong answer.
This is a multi-user license?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you've got 4 licenses?
I got 5.
Okay.
Oh, that's better, yeah.
More than enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you try to connect, you can see the drive, you can see the files.
Correct.
It's when you actually try to connect to them. What error message do you get?
Well, I don't really get an error message. If I'm the only one connected, it works fine. If someone else is connected and I try to connect, it says company file in use. And it locks me out until
that file's available.
Well,
right.
It thinks you're not in multi-user mode.
Yeah, but the screen shows it's in multi-user mode. Now, this might help you also. Let me give you more information. I can map drives from this 2000 machine to any machine, mm-hmm. but the machine that holds the Win98 file, if I try to map to my Win2000 machine, it won't let me map it. It says that I don't have permission.
Okay.
I want to map it backwards.
One thing you want to look at... Two things you want to look at. One, check all your machines in the setup where you do the networking.
Okay.
Make sure there are no comments. You know, you can put in a comment that says, you know, Bob's machine.
Right.
Get rid of all of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that sounds stupid, but
in fact,
that will prevent you from making a decent connection. I don't know why. Then the other thing you want to check is that all the machines are using the same group name.
They are. Yeah, and
and it also might be a good idea to make sure they're on the same protocol. Everybody on NetBEUI or everybody on TCP.
But on these 2000 machines, though, you might have to set up the permissions. In other words, within Windows 98, you don't have to sit there and say this person and that person can get on this machine. Whereas in Windows 2000, you've got to be the administrator and sit there and set up users to allow them, add them to the list to be able to access. The different folders and files that you want them to do.
Right, yeah.
Because the only problem with Windows 2000 is the pain in the butt of being your own administrator.
And it's designed to be a little more secure.
Yes.
So when you want to get into it, it's annoying.
You might want to try, consider it, since they're running 2000 and it might run a little easier for you, is move those machines up to Windows XP.
Yeah, I can do that. I just have some issues with privacy and how XP, because we're also hooked up to the network through a router.
Well, then go with the professional. The professional adds that level of security. But again, you don't have to be an administrator.
As much.
As much versus 2000. That's it. If you got to log on as administrator to do any installing of programs or anything else. If you try to log on as a user and install, it won't let you.
That's one thing. That's one thing to try. Log on as the administrator and see if you can get there. If you can, you know for sure it's a permissions problem.
Yeah, I think it is a permissions or a policies problem. I just can't seem to dig deep enough on the Windows website to find the actual answer to the problem. And we're almost to the point of throwing hardware out in the road because it's just it's extremely frustrating because when it was Win98 to Win98, there was never, ever, ever a problem.
Then go to XP. I guarantee you. With the XP Professional and you'll have less issues.
The only problem with that is there's a couple of other proprietary programs that we use in our company that are not XP compatible. Can't do it.
Have you tried putting the files on a Windows 2000 machine?
I did try that last week, and the first time I did it, it was just completely unsuccessful. But I just don't want to replace both of the other hard drives and do 2000 for everybody at this point.
No, I understand.
Then log on as the administrator and
try that, and if it works, then you know you've just got to be digging in those permissions. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's the answer as well. But for the other user, the Anytime Deluxe has been using it for 5 years. It's great. For under $100, you can't get hurt.
Yeah,
that's great. Thanks.
There you go.
Version 8 is $30, and I found a place that was selling version 7 for $12.
Oh, there you go. You definitely want 8.
Definitely want 8.
Definitely 8.4, I think, is the newest one. We just got it. It's for $30. It's well worth it.
Perfect.
And it's from a company called Individual Software, and the link
that's
is on our website.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. That's great advice.
Good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See, this is what I love is when people call up with answers. Then we just hook callers together and we don't have to do anything. Our next caller, Jackie, who may or may not be calling all the way from Virginia.
Oh, I am.
You are? Are you actually picking us up there?
Actually, I just moved down here from Rochester a couple of weeks ago.
Ah. Well, you'll have to ask your local Clear Channel station why the heck they're not carrying us.
I haven't even had a chance to try.
Well, yeah, I know you will, though.
I will.
How can we help you?
Well, I used to be hooked up through a modem. However, at the moment, I'm going online through a router with a wireless connection to a local network.
Mm-hmm.
And the dial-up connection window keeps popping up.
Right.
Driving me crazy. And also, I think that when it pops, it stops my computer from accessing until I get rid of it.
You're using Internet Explorer?
No, I'm using Mozilla.
Mozilla?
Well, you need to go to your connection tab in the Internet control panel.
And say, there will be a tab there.
Yeah, start at the control panel.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay.
Go into
Internet.
Internet connections.
Or Internet options. Depending on what version of Windows you're running, it's Internet something.
Well, actually, this is Windows. I've got 98 regular, not SE.
All right, go to Internet connections or Internet options. One of those two.
It's just Internet options.
Okay, click on that.
Mm-hmm.
And there. I think it's what? The first window it says.
It's three or four tabs over. There's a connection.
Yeah, connections.
Connections, okay.
And that's where
go
you tell
to that
it
one.
How you're connected.
I'm there.
And now there's three radio buttons below that white box.
Yes.
And the one that you want to click is never dial.
Oh.
Because you don't need it to dial anymore.
You don't need
it to dial
anymore. Yeah, okay. Never dial.
Did it.
Save
that.
There you go.
And you're all set.
You'll have to reboot, I suspect, but now you're on your way.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And Monday morning, you'll make that call to your local Clear Channel station.
And for people that need to switch between the dial-up and the Internet connection, depending on where you're connected, one of them is dial whenever there's no Internet connection available.
Yeah, the second one's is for that. What I would recommend, though, is on that machine, do a cold shutdown so, you know, it forgets everything, and then power it back up.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I have to tell you that I'm actually pretty impressed because I have an XP box. Steve has a Mac in front of him. Dave has nothing because he won't bring in a laptop because apparently his wife thinks it's more important that she have it than that he have it. Okay, not my problem.
Yeah.
But the two of them did this out of their memory, and 98 is a long time ago. When you get right down to it. Yep. But the two of them are just staring off into space going, it's the fifth tab.
Yeah. Picturing the screen in my head.
I was very impressed because I'm sitting here thinking, it's barely, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My heart has barely started beating. And these guys are remembering screens they've seen twice 5 years ago. I'm actually very, very impressed. You should be too. Let's have a round of applause for Dave and Steve, ladies and gentlemen. Okay,
I ran into a customer this week.
Did you hurt him?
Yeah. they're running a plotter. That's a fast prototyping cutter. So it cuts out the cardboard boxes, basically. But the computer that runs the plotter is running DOS. I think it was even version 5. And they had Apple Talk loaded. So on the CAD program on the Mac, they could tell it to print these CAD drawings.
Do you know, there, about a year ago, I actually was sitting down at a DOS-based machine. I had to edit a file, and all they had was Edlin.
Ooh. Oh.
I just closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and let my fingers do it.
Yeah,
and they remembered.
So
yeah,
11 was an Edlin 11,20p.
Yeah, exactly. And my hands remembered what they were doing, and it worked out. But boy, oh boy, it was a little weird. Edlin, for those of you who have never lived in the DOS world, is a very old editor that was line-based. We're going to take another break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The eyes of the world are upon you. The Allied invasion had begun.
The sounds of war. Those sounds have changed some since 1941. Thankfully, the radio station bringing them to you has it.
Coalition forces have begun striking selected targets.
At an airbase near Iraq, Iron Kizer's Declare Channel News.
Celebrating 8 decades of being Rochester's news leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi, I'm Brad Davies, and I have scores and highlights with Beth and Chet on the Wham Morning News. And 3 hours of sports talk, 9 till noon, up the dial on Hot Chalk 1280 WHTK.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
It's America's Money Show. Money Talk with Bob Brinker. Saturdays and Sundays at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet service, call 262-2485.
Central Command will confirm that a strike was conducted on a leadership target.
We are moderately certain he was inside.
Saddam and his sons, there is a good confidence they are no longer.
When news breaks, we're there. We are Rochester's news leader. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
I told my parents, like, just go to, like, bowling with them as, like, friends and stuff.
No, that's dating. Do you know your chances of getting date raped, pregnant, sexually transmitted disease, or a lot of painful bad memories are now zero because your parents have some backbone?
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
The opponents of the war are pointing at the looting. You see, these people aren't ready for freedom. They've been given freedom, and they don't know what to do with it. Nothing but a bunch of savages.
Rush.
Don't tell me that the fact that there's looting in Baghdad signals they are not qualified or ready for freedom.
Rush Limbaugh.
If that's the case, then they're not ready for freedom in Chicago.
Weekdays, 2 till 5.
They're not ready for freedom in Los Angeles, and they're not ready for freedom in Atlanta, and a number of other places, too.
On News Radio 1180.
No, don't give me this.
WHAM. The news you need, the information that's critical. Hear it first, fast and factual. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
This is Bob Brenna Jr. from the law firm of Brenna & Brenna, reminding you to tune in every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. to listen to the Brenna & Brenna Law Firm here on WHAM.
Now, more than ever, you need the news leader. 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester, a clear channel radio station.
CBS.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the computers. You are listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco, the greatest expert in this room. Dave Enright, he's not the brightest bulb on Broadway. And Steve Ray, he's dumber than a bag of hammers. 1180 WHAM.
All right, as you may have realized about halfway through that, that wasn't a real introduction. We have, it's very funny, though. It's very, clearly Moody Blues has
too much free time.
Has a little free time in his hand. As you know, we've talked about over time, all the stuff that goes on our forums. We've got all those great graphics that people are putting up and all the logos that people are putting up. And now Moody Blues steps up to catch the one thing we've been missing up until now, audio.
Yeah.
He's put together a whole series of very, very funny stuff. Starting out with some science fiction stuff and some calls. We don't give any help at all to Jean-Luc Picard. Marvin the Martian is in here. That's the intro where I just pork off everybody. Bugs Bunny is one of our callers. We're looking forward to many more of these, but you'll find those on our website. If you go to soundbites.org, you'll find on... excuse me, I beg your pardon. I just... I don't know where that came from, but I don't think I ever want it again. If you scroll down a little bit on the right, you'll see a section called Facts, FAQs, and Links Galore. And right at the top is Moody Blues 100 brings us some secretly recorded calls. Below that, you can see our show cam and our movie posters and our logo saga. And I have to apologize to Dave Enright.
That's okay.
Dave, I can't believe I didn't do this. I just forgot to upload it when I made the change. Dave is putting together a weekly series of tips. Dave's Tips. If you go to soundbites.org/davetips.php, and that will be up on the website this afternoon, I promise. Dave's tips are up there. He's got three of them up there right now. Shortcuts, spam, and hard disk support. He'll put a new one up every Friday.
Yep, every Friday.
And we'll have a series of tips from Dave.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to also put up there, I was kind of milling it over, because we've gotten a number of folks that have been emailing us that are asking about buying the new system.
Yep.
So I'm going to put together my thoughts on what you should look for if you're going out to pick out a new computer. You know, what's the not the minimum and not the maximum. We're going to talk to the average user here, folks, because I still claim that...
Assuming such a thing actually exists.
You know, 50% of the people out there don't use, or I'll say 75% of the people don't use 50% of the power in their machines as it is right now. They're always told, well, you need all this power and yada, 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 yada. I'll just give you my point of view, and by no means will it be a slouch, but it'll get your work done, and you won't even notice the difference.
Cool.
And with my recommendations.
Cool. Also on our website, you will see that we have a weekly poll. Every week, a new poll, and what could be more exciting than that? Last week's poll was about backing up your data, how often you do it. We had 273 votes, making it number 36 on the all-time high list. Of those 273... the lead was backups. We don't need no stinking backups. The next choice was when I'm reminded, thanks. Then once a month, once a week, once a day, and followed by once. 8% of you have only once backed up your system. I should have had never on there, and I probably would have seen a lot more votes. But so far we've got somewhere on the order of 102 votes in this week's poll, so please join us at soundbites.org, vote in the poll, and then join us in the forums for all the fun we've been having, all the information we've been giving out, all the good stuff that's going on. Now we're going to go back to the, and I will get Dave's tips link up this afternoon. We're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary in Geneseo, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. Hi, love dear. The show.
Thank you.
Quick question. I'm running Windows ME, your favorite operating system.
Dave, okay, take the microphone away from Dave. We got it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm on a Sony laptop. When I'm in Internet Explorer and I click on a link, which should open another page, it used to come up normal, but now I get a little rectangular box, which I have to go to and click on to open up. This started about a week ago.
At some point, you got a pop-up window that mm-hmm. set the window size to that little tiny thing. Most likely it was a Trojan spy program.
Have you run Adaware?
I haven't run that lately, not in the last couple of weeks.
You might
want to
try that.
Well, the first thing you should do is clear out your cache.
Okay.
Because there's a little JavaScript program in there that's setting the window size.
Ah.
And if you clear out your cache, the theory is that'll go away.
I've also had luck with manually dragging the size up and then quitting IE, so it saves that as your size listing. If you just hit the zoom button, it doesn't remember the size, just that you zoomed it.
Yeah.
No. And the funny thing is, when it first started happening, I didn't realize it was doing it, so I kept clicking on these links, wondering where the heck's the page.
Yeah.
Next thing I know,
yeah,
there's like six little boxes up there.
Yeah, right.
The pages are all there, trying to load in that little tiny window.
One thing with Adaware, though, there is, when you start that up, a button there that says to check for updates. Do that first.
They update regularly. It's very,
yeah, now it's coming out like every week or so now.
And first do the update to the program, which is free, you know, over your internet connection, and then run the Adaware program, and you'll be surprised at the number of spyware programs you'll find.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
There you go. Thank you very much. Our next caller, Mike. From Batavia, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Good show, guys. And I don't listen to you guys that much. It's just nice to turn on the radio and not hear right-wing fanatic. On talk radio, anyway. I've got two machines running 98 second edition. I've got one running XP Pro. And I want to network them into Roadrunner. That's nothing new. But I want to put an HP 1000 LaserJet printer on. And I want to put a print server. I was hoping to buy one box that would do everything for me. And if you've got any, I called up HP and they tell me that that's not a networkable printer.
No, not directly networkable.
Yeah, yeah, there's two ways to network a printer. One is to plug it into the computer and the computer shares it to the network. And the other is to put a network card
in the printer if it'll handle it.
And the 1000 won't be networkable. You have to share it from a computer. I know that Linksys makes a wireless print server that runs off the parallel port. It's basically just a little tiny computer that serves printers.
Or he can get an HP, if that doesn't have the network card in it, you can get
The 1200 series has a JetDirect card available for Ethernet.
Or he can get one of those HP boxes that hooks up to the network, right, and then he plugs that printer into it.
The easiest thing to do, it's a JetDirect.
Yeah,
the easier thing to do, is to buy some sort of Linksys and a couple of others make routers that essentially let you connect your Roadrunner connection to the router and then all your computers to the router.
Yeah.
One of the things that some of those models have a print server built in. Alternately, you can connect the printer to one of your computers and then share it on the network, and everybody will be able to print to it.
How difficult would be they would be remote printing from the 98 boxes.
Yeah.
How difficult is that in...
I
can do that in Unix. I can't do that in Windows. I've never done that.
Yeah, it's actually
very
fairly
easy.
Simple. Right-click on open up the printer, the printer, start.
Well, before that, you have to go to the network control panel and turn on file and printer sharing.
Well, he's got to do that in the control panel.
And then share your printer in the printer properties.
Right. What you do is, in the control panel, you turn on file, printer, and sharing. Under
the networking.
Under networking.
There's a box that says file and print sharing. You know, a little tab, you click on that. You can then check to say, yes, share this printer. Now, it'll have to reboot. Once it does that, you can then open up the go to start control panel or under printers, right-click on that particular printer. Sharing will now show up. You click on that, and it will set up the sharing for that printer on the network.
You give it a name. You tell it whether everybody can print to it all the time or however you want to work that. Once it's set up, then on every other machine, you go to set up a new printer, and you tell it it's a network printer.
It'll search your
network. And it'll go find it on the network, and there you are.
A little bit easier way, because if you go through the Add Print Wizard, it's going to ask for the driver disk.
Oh, yeah.
If you just open Network Neighborhood, open the server that has his printer on it, the printer will be listed. Open it from there, Windows will say, do you want to set this printer up? You say yes, and it downloads the drivers for you.
Right.
Okay. Now, on the XP machine that's got the printer, if the IP address changes, does that matter?
No, because Windows doesn't use the IP address. It uses the NetBIOS name, the NetBUI name.
Okay.
So it'll be like, Mike's computer or whatever you've called it.
Okay.
And it'll do it that way.
And XP is nice because it'll automatically find the printers on your network once they're available.
Yeah, right,
but
XP
clients. The other two machines are 98SE.
And that's actually, that's a nice feature on a network. The XP clients will find any printer shared from an XP machine. But I've got a network of, you know, that we support of 15 XP machines. I don't want them all shared.
Yeah.
They show up anyway.
Right, 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 right. And everybody prints to the A printer, whatever printer is listed first, right.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's
our pleasure. Thank you very much. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Life is good. Enjoy yourself. Swim and Leisure.
You ever have the feeling that stress has set up permanent residence in your neck? Well, it has. I should know. I'm your stress. But your neck is just my primary residence. I'm also working with an interior designer on installing an ulcer in your stomach. Nothing fancy, just a place to lounge on my days off. But my days off have been few and far between lately. With all your projects at work, your overbooked personal life, I have been working some serious overtime. Which is fine by me, because when you bite off more than you can chew, I see a deluxe buffet.
Want to send your stress on vacation? Just jump into a Jacuzzi Premium hot tub. Take advantage of Jacuzzi Premium's Boycott Stress Sale event between April 16th and May 31st and save $500.
I push you because I love you.
Hey, big boy.
Save on Jacuzzi Spas now at all four Ace Swim and Leisure locations. The following broadcast.
Have you heard? The downtown Rochester Sheraton Four Points Hotel is announcing its new name, the Clarion Riverside Hotel. That's right. The Sheraton Four Points Hotel has a new name and a new flair. The Clarion Riverside Hotel, still the friendliest hotel in Rochester. Rochester continues to offer 24-hour superior service from their friendly staff. 465 spacious rooms complete with gable and data ports. Shuttle service
your
to and from the Greater Rochester International
to
Airport or train
the slowness
station.
Of your development.
Rochester's favorite restaurant,
Bennigan's,
is also at the Clarion Riverside Hotel. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or meeting friends. Now is a great time to book their elegant and surprisingly affordable wedding at the Clarion Riverside Hotel. It's easy to plan and book any size group or meeting events. Just call 888-596-6400, and they'll be happy to help you make whatever arrangements you need. So call the Clarion Riverside for superior service. 888-596-6400. The Clarion Riverside Hotel is now your choice hotel.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K. Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services.
We're ready for your calls at 222-1180. Long distance on the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers on News Radio 1180. WHAM.
This is 1180 WHAM, and you are listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be taking more calls at the numbers you just heard from that brand new and unusual voice. And and our next caller is Mike from Greece. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Nick, I have burned a lot of CDs, and I've got a problem that's driving me crazy lately. When I play them on certain machines, some it'll work on some and it doesn't work on others. It sounds like they're skipping like an old vinyl record.
Uh-huh.
Any ideas?
Are you burning audio CDs?
Yes.
Okay, here's the likely problem. CDs have a little laser that burns the CD, and that runs on a little track. That track can get out of alignment.
It could also be an older CD-ROM drive.
Yeah, especially if you burn a lot of CDs, you're going to be wearing out your burner.
I do burn a lot, and when the problem started, the first thing I thought was it seemed to start when I opened a new pack.
Some of the newer speed CDs will not be recognized. You know, the actual CD will not be recognized by some of the older CD-ROM or CD-ROM drives. So when you put this, say this one CD, you burn it, and you put it in this machine, it plays no problem. You put it in this one, because they're all relatively new CD-ROM drives, say, I'd have to say 32X or faster. Now, if you try putting it in an older machine with a lower speed, it's not going to know how to handle the newer technology.
So a 48X disk may not work right in a 24X drive.
Yep. Right, so you want to buy the slower CDs.
They're cheaper.
The slowest common denominator.
Right.
If I have a faster blank CD, but I burn it at a slower rate, would that be okay?
Mm-hmm. That might work fine.
Yep.
Give that a try. It could be that an alignment problem, particularly if you burn a lot of CDs, but it could also simply be the speed of the CD you're using.
That's what I've run into.
Yeah.
Because, as a matter of fact, I've burned some of my CDs that I use in...
Of course, everything you're burning is legally and legitimately burnable, correct?
I'm burning, actually, yeah.
Good. That's all I want to hear. Thank you.
Well, I've taken rewritables, which I can put in most the average machine and no problem. But the minute I try to put it in a machine that's, say, 3 or 4 years old with an older CD-ROM drive, it can't handle reading a CD-RW. It just chokes. It sits there and says, put in the media. It's in there!
If I put it in, I'm talking about it won't play in my regular stereo.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep.
But it might play in my boombox or my Walkman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, same idea.
The finickiness of each device.
Yep.
Yep.
The problem is that these things are all made by a million different people to a million different specifications, and the fact that they work at all is more of a miracle than that some don't work.
Okay.
Sorry, but try burning at a lower rate and see what happens.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Our next caller is going to be Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm bad. I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure you do.
First, I'm...
Yeah, well, sorry, go ahead.
On my computer, when I turn on your, when you go to email,
mm-hmm.
you have to get the password in there.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of that?
You don't. You have to have a password.
Get your email?
Well, I got one, but I'm saying I want to get rid of it. What do I got to do
You can't get rid of your password. You can, however, tell the computer to remember that so that it won't ask you again.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the password to get in the machine itself or the password to get your email?
Email.
Yeah, you can't get rid of that.
Right.
You can have the machine remember it, as Steve said,
and then it won't show it.
That's in the preferences for your email reader.
Right. There should be a checkbox somewhere in your preferences that says remember password.
You put in the username and password, and then below that there's a checkbox that says remember this. So now when you go to get your email, it'll automatically know the password and username and just go get it.
Okay.
All right.
And now, last week or so, I'd turn my computer on, and I'll go to hit it and explore any program. And a thing will come up, like a box, and says, there is no disk in the drive. Please insert a disk into, and then it's got /device/harddisk1/DR3. And then I have to hit cancel two or three times, and I'll go away.
What antivirus program are you running?
McAfee.
And it's up to date?
Yep.
And
every day I turn around and I check it.
What is it? Wait, what is this device name again?
Insert a disk into device, hard disk 1, DR3.
You might want to check your startup group and make sure there's nothing there trying to open a file off of a disk at some point.
Yeah, if you run msconfig, if you go to start run, type msconfig, the last tab over is the startup. And that'll tell you various things that are being loaded when you start up Windows.
What operating system are you running?
XP.
Yeah,
let me suggest...
That sounds like a Unix drive.
Well, yeah. But let me suggest a couple of things that you also try. Download Stinger. You'll find that listed on our website.
He doesn't need it, though, if he's got the McAfee. Stinger only goes after the viruses that that weren't originally in the data file.
How do we know how long
he said
ago this happened? Well, still, it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt.
But it won't do anything.
Well, it couldn't hurt. Download it and try it. And then make sure you're up to date and running.
Right.
The next thing it could be is your hard drive may be turned off. Do you have...
What about Adaware?
Hold on a second. Do you have power management turned on?
I don't know.
check that out, because it may be that you're turning off your hard drive. And is this a laptop or a desktop?
Desktop.
Yeah, see, if you're turning off your your hard drive regularly every minute or two or three or whatever, then it's not going to be available until it spins up.
Okay, how do I find out that?
Under the control panel energy in power panel. Options or energy settings or how whichever version you've got. Under power options, make sure it's set, everything is always set to always on.
Okay, power option.
Then you want to run a program called AdAware and see if it finds anything, or SpyBot S&D, one of the two. They're both listed again on our Soundbites website. Okay. And if it's none of those things, you may have a hard drive problem.
Could be.
Maybe a physical...
But it sounds like it's looking for something like the third hard drive. And that's why I'm wondering whether it thinks it's a CD-ROM drive, something else.
Yeah, it may be looking for something on your CD-ROM, exactly.
Bogus.
Just started about a week ago.
That's why I'm wondering if it could be spyware.
Yeah, did you load anything new a week ago?
No. About a month ago I did, yeah.
Yeah, no, if it didn't start in conjunction with that, then no.
No, didn't start at the same time.
So I would suggest those steps.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Let us know, Bill.
All right.
Thanks. Our next caller, Chuck from Greece, New York. Welcome, Chuck. What's your question?
Hi. Got a great show, by the way.
Thanks.
I got two strange messages that comes on my machine now since my daughter tried to download a game off the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
And failed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, one of the messages when I get to my desktop says... unable to download program.
Yep.
The other one is that's that one. And then the other one is /Windows/Systems/VFEHVPST.exe file.
Wait, what's that name again? Windows System
VFEHVPST.
That's VShield for McAfee.
Oh, and it says appears corrupt, reinstall the file. And
you've got McAfee on your system?
Yes.
When's the last time it's been updated?
Just before this happened.
About
2 weeks.
In other words, but if you go into the McAfee your McAfee program,
yes,
and you click on it and it opens up, what version are you running? McAfee 6, 7?
6, I believe.
All right. Double check the date on those the DAT files. It sounds like you've got a virus, which means you're going to have to get a clean bootable floppy and put that CD in and try to run the repair on that. Or download, if you can get to our website. In this case, you want to download Stinger. If you go to our website, go on the right-hand side, you'll see a thing that says, I heard this website on your show. Click on that. There's an alphabetical listing. Scroll down to where you see Stinger. That will take you to the McAfee webpage where you can download Stinger. Stinger, what it does is it looks for the most common 16 viruses, CLEZ being one of them. CLEZ will stop you from installing or uninstalling any program on your machine. Just what you're saying here is she tried to download a program and says it can't, because the CLEZ virus will stop all of that. So go and get Stinger, run it, and it will remove that virus from your machine.
Then do I have to put McAfee back in?
And then you're going to have to uninstall and reinstall McAfee.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster.
The tree house. These are the 12 things Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
Decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Hey, it's the Goldfish Instant Win Game.
When you dread these computers, they're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
What you are a winner. The song says what you want. Now doesn't that sound fun?
And the grand prize is a party with a singing group play.
Your friends will be be excited as long as
they're
invited.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
Rules and details. Open only to residents of the contiguous United States. Many will play. Few will win. Game ends September 1st, 2003.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
With Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton. And this is Soundbites. So pretty much all of what that guy said is true. Lonnie? Maybe. He's Lonnie to us now, and that's really all that counts, isn't it? That's all that counts. We're back, and we're going to Jim, who's calling all the way from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, guys.
Hiya, Jim. What's up?
Not me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Wait a minute. I got to first say, you're picking us up in Syracuse?
Yeah.
What? Whereabouts in Syracuse?
I'm basically in the northeast corner of the city.
Perfect. It's about as far as you can get from us.
Yeah.
When I'm on the thruway, I can hear you pretty much all the way into Canastota. I got a really good radio.
Oh, cool.
Apparently you do, yes.
Yeah. Well, no, plus I'm a shortwave listener.
There you go.
No, I got a sister-in-law that's in Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
She's up in Warren.
So tell her we said hi.
Oh, okay. We'll do.
No, I just wonder if she could pick us up.
I bet she could if she ever listened to the radio. What's
well,
wrong with her?
That's my sister-in-law. You got to know my sister-in-law, Luann.
No, I don't have to know your
sister-in-law. She's unique.
Oh, she's unique.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the first time I just known my wife for a while. This is getting sidetracked. We'll get to you in a minute, Jim.
Hang out, Jim.
And
you're calling on the 800 number, right?
Jim, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I happened to be going to Syracuse to help my brother-in-law out in a function. I met my sister-in-law. She pulls up. She pulls out this day-old pizza, says, you want a pizza and a beer? I'm Lori's sister. Okay, great. Welcome to Syracuse.
Welcome to Syracuse.
Oh, brother.
What's your question, Jim?
Oh, okay.
We're back to you now.
Okay, no problem. You know, I was going to recommend
like
a couple of restaurants, you know. Give you a couple of recipes.
Poorhouse West.
Well, even better than that is Dinosaur.
Oh, yes. Been there, done that, too.
Oh, yeah. Not for locale.
Yes.
Anyway, I have Internet Explorer that's getting senile.
Oh, that's not unlikely. Why? What's it doing?
Okay, well, let me give you the background. I'm running XP. It's a brand-new system. Just got it. It's a new HP 734N.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice machine.
Mm-hmm.
And some websites that I go to, okay, require you to log in. Okay, I'm a train simulator nut. So I go to this train simulator site, and I have to log in. And I had it set up so that it would remember my username and my password, so all I had to do was just click log in, and I was all set.
Right.
Well, it's forgotten how to do that. And also, every time I launch my email, it forgets my password, even though I have the box checked that says remember and keep and all that. I've gone in, and I've done a reinstall. I've done cleaned out the cache. I've double-checked all the listings under the password keeper.
Jim, are you running an antivirus program?
Yeah.
What program?
AVG. And it's up to date as of yesterday.
Okay. Because, see, there's a number of viruses out there that do just that.
Yeah.
Steal passwords.
That was my first thought. And so the first thing I did was I ran a virus check, and that came back
clean. Did you run Stinger?
Not with AVG, no.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're completely separate programs.
All right.
And I would do that.
And also Adaware.
I got Adaware. I run that religiously.
Good. Isn't it amazing the stuff that you find?
Oh, yeah.
It's frightening, isn't it? The other thing you might want to try is check in your Windows directory for any file that ends in .pwl.
Yes.
Make sure they're not locked.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good old password list.
You got it.
Remember that from my old Windows 3.0 days.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing ever changes, Jim.
Never.
So those files are still there, and that's where your passwords
are
kept.
Yeah, they show up when I go in and I look at them, because, you know, I can go in and it says manage your passwords, and I look at them, and they're all there.
Yep.
But when I go to the website, it goes, huh?
Yeah, make sure they're not locked.
Okay.
And make sure you're logging in under the same name that you saved those files under.
Oh, yeah, I am.
All right, Jim,
Everything's identical.
Okay. Another thing you might want to try doing is rename that password list.
Yeah.
And you might have to put them back in. Something might be corrupted in the header in that password list. So
you mean Windows might fail?
No, we're not saying fail. We're just saying that needs a little boost.
A little tweak.
We'd hate, exactly. We'd hate to think that just a little extra.
So go ahead and rename it to, you know, whatever it is, .old.
Okay.
Let it recreate it, put it in, and see if it remembers them. If it doesn't solve the problem, you can always rename the old file back to the original name.
Okay. Can I make one request and one quick suggestion?
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. I'll try.
Come a few bars.
I might get confused here. First thing is, suggestion is, please, please, please give out your phone number a little more often.
Okay.
And the request is, what is your website again?
Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind everyone.
.org.
.org. And, by the way, the phone numbers are listed on that page.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know the web address, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you can also get to us from the wham1180.com website also.
Oh, okay. That should be easy to find.
Yeah, wham1180.com, and down on the left-hand side, you'll see our three gorgeous faces.
And, of course, your job is to call your local Syracuse Clear Channel station and ask why they're not carrying us.
Well, I've done that with you, and I've done that with the digital goddess, too. So
there you go.
Nothing personal, but she's a little better looking than you.
Well, we don't doubt that, but our information is prime.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
Yeah, she's just reading off of...
No nastiness.
I listen to Kim Komando. I listen to her, too.
There you go, then.
9 to midnight.
There you go, then.
Here she's on from 1 to... I listen to her on WGY.
There you go. Okay.
All right. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks much for the help.
Thanks, Jim. Have fun out there in good old Syracuse. Our next caller, Wayne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Wayne. What's your question?
Oh, I thought maybe you could help me. I'm trying to make a slideshow presentation.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem doing the slideshow with the program I have, but it has a little box on it that you can add music to it. It'll allow you to add one piece of music. And then I did this once before. Everything went fine, except if you add like a 3-minute music track and you got 15 minutes in pictures, you get the music track, you know, three times over. Now, I notice on WinMX, some people when they have put music on there, they have a whole album. In other words, they might have a 70-minute piece of music on there, which consists of, who knows, 10 different songs.
Mm-hmm.
How can I take 5 songs and make it look like one track, like a continuous track like that? That's what I'm trying to do.
You need an audio editing program, a sound editor, just like you have graphics editors. They have sound editors where you can stick songs together, whatever you want to do to them. There are a number that are available. A lot of our people, including, of course, Moody Blues 100. I believe he uses, no, I don't know what he uses. I apologize. I don't know what he uses. But Cool Edit, is that what it's called? Cool Edit?
That's one.
Is one.
What's that one we use? Recorder?
Well, Total Recorder doesn't do that, but there's a free program called Audacity. And Steve's going to find the address for Audacity.
I think we have that one already.
We may already have that one on our website. Audacity is an open source product. It is free both to download and free to use. So you can download that, and it takes a little bit of learning, just as any of these programs do. But once you learn how to use it, you can add in sounds, you can play around with them, you can clean them up, you can change them, you can do all kinds of stuff with them.
I see.
So that
would do the trick, huh?
So that would do the trick for you. That would let you add one song after another, after another, after another, and then you can tailor the length of the music. You can even do fade outs and all kinds of stuff, echo effect, whatever you want to do. So right. You can, you know, you got 15 minutes worth of show, you put in 15 minutes and 10 seconds worth of music, and that last 10 seconds fades out. It's very professional.
So it would all look like one file.
Exactly. It ends up being one file, and then you make it a WAV file or an MP3 file or whatever you want. You can change the sampling rate so it's bigger or smaller, cleaner, or, you know, whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
It's a program called Audacity. What?
Audacity's free, so I'll look for that. Huh?
Check that out first. It's a good place to start.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Our next caller is Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I've got a program called ViaVoice I put out by IBM.
Sure.
Are you familiar with it?
Yep.
Sure. Anyway, this is... I got... I don't know if I installed something this week or... Something is making it crash something fierce. And... whatever is in my computer, Microsoft, I don't know if it's the same thing or not. Microsoft Word says that there's some script thing that I got. Well, I'm not a programmer. I don't know how to do that crap. But anyway,
You have a script, and then you most likely have a script virus that got in.
I'll read you the error message that come up when I tried to load ViaVoice.
Okay.
It says S2A app name. VVUIMAN.exe SZ app version :10.0.0.110.
Yeah. We don't need all the numbers.
Okay.
Here's what you need to do. What antivirus program are you running?
I got the latest of Norton stuff. I get updates whenever, you know, all the time. As a matter of fact, it did the whole computer just last night at 2 in the morning.
All right. Boy, I hate to say this, but if Microsoft Word says there's a script problem, then what that means is either you have a virus that Norton is not catching, or there's a legitimate script you're running that's corrupted.
You might have to uninstall Microsoft Word.
I did.
A repair.
I did. I figured, well, maybe this was driving me crazy. ViaVoice wouldn't run at all. As a matter of fact, it's so bad it makes the disk snap. It goes and the only way I can make it stop is to shut the whole damn thing right off.
That could be that your hard drive is
failing. That's what I'm thinking. Word does have a connection into ViaVoice. And that may be the script that's causing the problem. If indeed ViaVoice, it could be that your hard drive is... How old is this machine?
It's a brand new... Well, it's not a brand new hard drive. I had another one put into a brand new computer last April. The computer is just about a year old. It's a compact.
Mm-hmm.
It's got XP. It had a 20 gig, and I put a 40 in it.
Have you tried uninstalling ViaVoice and reinstalling?
Yeah, I did. I tried. I did. I worked all day long on this yesterday. I uninstalled everything and then redid it again, and I still get the same damn thing.
Here's what I think you need to do, Roger. I think you need to take this to a vendor like Dave or Steve or Green Shield or one of our vendors and have them check the hard drive itself, because they have some diagnostic tools that will let them do that, because it truly does sound to me like the problem is an actual physical problem. Now, whether it's just a bad sector on the hard drive that can be fixed, or whether the hard drive itself is going, or whether some virus tried to get into your machine and was stopped and is corrupting one of the sectors, yeah, they'll be able to tell that. And really, that's not something you can do at home without the right tools.
Yeah, okay. Now, so, the one program that it mentioned, which I put a trace on,
right?
That's let's see if I can read it.
wiman.exe.
Right.
And I put a search on it, the Windows search.
Right.
And then I clicked the properties once I found it, and it says it came in on Monday, and it's located in Windows Prefetch.
Yeah, that's a virus.
Prefetch. And then it says the size is 18.6 KB. And it's, let's see, what else does it say? Modified, yeah, April 27th. And it says unknown, where
right.
It says
right. And that,
open
but,
with.
Well, Roger,
yeah.
Listen to me. That's a virus.
It
so
is.
You need to update your antivirus, download Stinger and run that. If those don't fix it, you need to take your hard drive to somebody to take a look at.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that's what you got to do, and we got to go. Be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The best in local radio and television. News Radio 1180 WHAM and News Source 13 have again been honored with the Edward R. Murrow Awards for Best Local Newscast. Local news on radio and TV from the people you've come to know and trust. Clear, concise reporting from experienced journalists working together to bring you the news wherever you are. In-depth team coverage from your Clear Channel stations in Rochester. WOKR-TV News Source 13 and News Radio 1180 WHAM. It's a pivotal draft for the Buffalo Bills. Wham will provide the best draft coverage as Gene Battaglia reports live twice an hour beginning at 3:30 Saturday until day one is done. Wham's Bills draft coverage is brought to you by Meyer's RV Superstores, the official RV dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Don't miss Meyer's biggest RV liquidation sales event ever going on now at the Dome. Bills Draft 2003. Live reports from Gene Battaglia beginning at 3:30 Saturday from the Sports Leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
What does he mean we don't know anything else? Believe me, if we don't talk about it on this show, you don't need to know about it. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Like, Rob's giving me this look like we're going to be out there.
Where'd he wake up? Yeah, he's okay. When
That's
did you
exactly
wake up?
Right. We have Al, Ed, cruising around the city on a cell phone. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hello, yeah. I have a
You're pulled off on the side of the road now, right, Ed?
Yeah.
He's probably gotten a parking ticket. It took us a while to get to him.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ed.
Parking lot. I have a notebook, compact.
Yep.
And I'm having a problem. It has Windows 2000 Professional.
Mm-hmm.
And it loads up. It brings up the window part. As it's loading, it stops with just a blue screen. It has a bunch of errors. I don't have them offhand. But it just freezes right there. Can't do anything. You have to unplug it and literally take the battery out.
Have you tried when it's booting up, holding down the F8 key? Keep hitting
yeah.
the F8 key.
Yeah,
you
get tried to, that.
And you've gone to last known good boot up?
Right, I've tried that. And it still wouldn't. It goes right to the same thing. Does the same thing.
Well, you might have to reload Windows 2000 over Windows 2000.
Okay, I've tried that. My Windows 2000, it won't even recognize it.
Okay.
It'll start to recognize the 98 that I have.
But no, what you got to do is you might have to change the boot sequence in your laptop.
Yeah.
To have it first boot off the CD check the CD first and then the hard drive. And you got to usually change that around in the BIOS.
Because
depending on the machine, it'll either be like a delete key or F1 or F2.
You said it was a compact?
F10.
Yeah, when you see the little square over in the upper right-hand corner, hit the F10 key, it takes you to the setup. Usually there's a screen there that will say boot sequence.
Okay.
You can go to that tab and just change the very first thing to boots up. Depending on the description on the bottom of the screen, it'll tell you how to change these options. But on the very first part of your boot up, you want it, instead of going to the floppy, to go to the CD-ROM drive. Save
right.
that, reboot, okay. and it will boot off your CD-ROM drive.
All right.
Give that a shot.
Okay, and that would load the 98, right?
No, if you put the Windows 2000 CD in there,
yeah.
it will boot to reinstall the Windows 2000.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Give it a shot. Let us know how you make out.
Okay, though.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bye. Ed. It's a real problem when you get to the point where it won't even boot up to anything where you've got a tool available. That makes it hard.
And he's already tried the last known good.
Yep.
Once it gets to there, you're pretty well.
You're kind of, what do you call it? The technical term, hosed.
Yeah.
Our next caller, Steve, you need a rim shot. That's what you really need here as a sound effect. Our next caller is Steve from Marion, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I got a router question for you.
Holy cow, you've also got a terrible phone connection.
Oh, is it that bad?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Okay. I've got a Netgear router with a firewall, 4-point up. My wife has a business where she has to connect to a secure server somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Internet and everything works great and fine, but half the time when she's trying to connect to this server, it'll just turn the computer right off. It'll blank it out, or she gets kicked out multiple times. If we go straight through Roadrunner, through the cable modem, it works fine.
Yeah.
What program is she trying to connect with?
It's some proprietary software for there.
You'll have to ask them what port it's using and open that port on your firewall.
And the Netgear, in that Netgear hub, there's you can open up the ports.
You can do is actually browse to the router.
All right.
To the Netgear router, and it'll bring up a web page that lets you do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
First, you need to call her business and get the port. There may be more than one. Many of these programs use one for incoming and one for outgoing.
Is there a standard port for VPN? I'm looking for it now.
Yeah, almost never. I mean, the point is,
you could tap into it.
Exactly. So you need to find out what port or ports.
If I didn't have the right, if they had it blocked through a port, would I still be able to get it to it part-time?
Well, the problem is it depends on what's going on with the system. It might be that you could get to it part of the time, and then it would die it caught a problem. Right, as it caught somebody coming in and then blocked that port.
Does she by any chance have one of those digital secure cards with the random number thing on it?
No, nothing like that.
On the real high security sites, the ports change every connection. Security password changes every second, so you have to have every minute, so you have to have the right password on your little digital device to match into the password on the screen. And there are some really secure ways you can do it, and it makes it harder to connect to, but fortunately it makes it harder to break into.
Right, so you need to find out from those people exactly what ports need to be opened.
Okay.
Okey-doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller is Charlie from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Hello, Nick.
Hi there.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thanks. I have a program on my computer called EQSO. I'm a ham radio operator.
Right.
And problem is, while I'm talking, everyone says that my audio is too low, and everyone comes in fine except me. I did an audio test, and it's very low, and I've tried doing things like turning up the mic gain on the program, and that improves it slightly, but I'm still coming in low.
Yeah, you may need a different mic with a different impedance. What you need to do is check the manual for your sound card.
Manual for the sound card?
Right, and that will tell you what impedance you need for your microphone. You need to then match that impedance, otherwise you're going to get low or bad sound one way or the other. So that's the thing you need to do first. If you've turned up the gains and everything else, that's all that's left. And I'm afraid We are done for another week. I apologize to everybody we didn't get to. I want to thank each and every one of our callers. It's great to get all your calls, and particularly the outliers. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. And don't forget, check out our website.
Send us your Rob Linton pictures for the famous Rob Linton screensaver.
We need to get that up. Sheila's ready. We're ready. All we need are the pictures.
Email
them
to me.
The more charming, the better. And we'll see you next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's a pivotal draft for the Buffalo Bills. Wham will provide the best draft coverage as Gene Battaglia reports live twice an hour beginning at 3:30 Saturday until day one is done. Wham's Bills draft coverage is brought to you by Myers RV Superstores, the official RV dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Don't miss Myers' biggest RV liquidation sales event ever going on now at the Dome. Bills Draft 2003. Live reports from Gene Battaglia beginning at 3:30 Saturday from the sports leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I told my parents, like, just go to, like, bullying with them as, like, friends and stuff.
No, that's dating. Do you know your chances of getting date raped, pregnant, sexually transmitted disease, or a lot of painful bad memories are now zero because your parents have some backbone?
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
The regime of Saddam Hussein is no more.
The major battles in Iraq have been fought. But what's next?
Syria has sponsored terrorism over the years.
Convincing North Korea to abandon her ambitions.
What's the latest news from Syria?
To develop nuclear arsenals.
North Korea, Iran.
They're getting the message.
For the latest in-depth team coverage of America's war on terror, keep it on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Where does Rochester turn for objective financial information? To Money and More, hosted by the Partners of the Horizon Group. Every Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
Bob Matthews.
Am I being overly optimistic? Am I being a homer? Am I being provincial?
Weeknight, 6 till 8.
I don't think so.
News Radio 1180 WHAM. Now, more than ever, you need the news leader. 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester. A clear channel radio station.
CBS News, I'm Susan Monday.